Hello and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Tika and I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. We're going to try to move forward as quickly as possible into tonight's discussion. This will hopefully allow everyone the opportunity that would like to speak and or maybe have questions about this topic and comment about this topic, the ability to do so in the time that they need to assist them through their process. Maybe in addition to that, someone may come on tonight and just want to share their special person with us. Just tell us about, you know, who they are grieving about. For our phone listeners, remember that you only have to select the number one if you do have a question or a comment, and you can do that at any time during the show. If you are listening online, you do have to be a registered follower of the show in order for us to receive your comment or question. If you have not registered to be a follower of the show, you can do that at this time, or you may simply just use the call-in number, 818-691-7406. Again, 818-691-7406, and that number should also be visible to you online as you are listening now. You do, again, have to select the number one in order for us to be notified that you do have a question or a comment. The way that we will pull you in is we will identify your area code and then provide the last four digits of the number that you are calling from. So this will let you know that you're in queue with us, and we'll pull you in and you can begin to share your comments. We are going to have some callers on with us tonight, at least one for sure. And I'm not sure exactly what time we will pull them in because we had some prior engagements. So, but we will have a caller that has experienced grief, has gone through the process, as we all have. But we do have some guests, at least one that's going to be on with us tonight. So I'll let you know when we do pull them in, and we'll go from there. Want to just continue to remind you all, we can't go move forward without reminding you all about the trash cans. Please remember to move your trash cans. And for our new listeners, this is something we on a weekly basis ask our listeners to do, which is, again, move your trash can, whether it be in your bedroom or your bathroom or your kitchen, just the most popular area or areas in your home. Then monitor how often and without notice, without much thought, you return to the old location of the trash can. Last week, we discussed habits and learned that habits are powerful, powerful factors in our lives because they are consistent and often unconscious, with much emphasis on unconscious. They're unconscious patterns that constantly and daily express our character and produce effectiveness or ineffectiveness in our lives. So we do want to just continue to remind you all of that. And I'm getting a ton of volume up here. We're getting a text that we are staticky tonight, so continue to let us know. I don't know if that's the volume. I'm going to change positions here. Okay, if you all let me know if that's better. So thank you for continuing to remind us when we're not coming through so clear. Okay. Got one text said that it's a little better, so continue to let us know how we're sounding here. But again, getting back to the show, we talked about habits last week and how moving your trash can, and now how moving your trash can will allow you to monitor how unconsciously we return to the old locations of the trash can, which is really about entering into the world of habits. So, again, this is important because unconscious patterns are a serious factor in our lives, because that means we're doing things without much thought process, and we need to get that in control. We need to become more conscious of our habits. Remember, we talked last week also about in sowing a habit, we are also sowing character. So continue to move those trash cans and continue to move them often. I'm not going to spend any more time on habits. However, if time permits, at the end of the show, I do want to express some of my thought process on how habits, I feel, can affect our grieving process. And I know that may sound a little odd now, because I had to really, really think about that and bring it into light for my life and my process of grieving. So if time permits, I will share some of that a little bit later in the show. But right now we're going to move on, and I want to check real quick just to make sure that our caller, our guest, is not on with us. So give me just a minute here. Okay. And again, the chat line is open for those of you who are listening on the internet or on your computers, and the phone lines are open. We want to allow everyone the opportunity to speak just as soon as they would like to about this topic. If you have something that you want to share, whether it's how you're grieving, how you grieved previously, and just what's going on in your life that has helped you through this process, or what is going on in your life that you need help going through. So, again, if you want to just share about your loved one, whatever you want to do, this show is about you all tonight, because grieving is a difficult process, and we want to share, want to have everybody have the opportunity to share their story. Sometimes, I know for me, even now, more so than ever, I find that it's very, very nurturing to me and my spirit and my process just for someone to listen to me about my grieving, particularly with people that are no longer in my life and you know, have passed away long ago. You know, sometimes when you want to talk about that, people look at you like you're crazy, thinking you should be over that by now. You know, why are you still talking about it? So that there's nothing that helps better than someone just listening to you and allowing you to talk about the person that you are grieving about. We do, I think, have a caller. So before I move forward, I want to quickly have a caller. And again, we're going to identify you by providing your area code, which is 404. And the last four digits of your number is 0177. 404, the area code. Last four, 0177. Caller, you're on the air with us. If you have a comment or question or just something you'd like to share.
Hey, Tammy, it's Romley. I just wanted to let you know that I was on.
Oh, okay. Hi. How are you? I wasn't sure that you were going to be able to join us tonight, but I'm not sure how much you've heard. And for our listeners, this is one of our – so we will have two then. We have another one that we'll be signing on soon here. So this is someone that is experiencing and has experienced grief in her life due to the loss of a loved one. So, Shanley, what I'd like for you to do, if now is okay, just share as much as you'd like to share for this beginning process about what you went through and where you are now in the process. And I just want to, you know, for everybody to be mindful, this is a very difficult subject to talk about. But again, I think it's so needed, because nothing helps more, I think, than just being able to express to someone what you're going through sometimes, and just bring that person, in my opinion, bring that person to life, so to speak. So, Shanley, if you're comfortable with just kind of starting out, telling us as much as you'd like right now, and as we progress in the show, you probably have some more things to share.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about what to say. I guess I could start out by saying that it was my husband that died last year, and it was a sudden thing. It was he had come in and said goodnight to the kids and told me he'd be back inside in a few minutes, and I found him outside in the driveway later on. They said that he had had a heart attack. And so it was just a really sudden thing. And the last, like, year and, or I guess some change has been really hard, going through a lot of stuff with my family and things like that. And I guess death, I know this sounds crazy, but it brings out, I guess, things in people. It kind of makes you see, you know, kind of know who your friends are, you know, and where you kind of stand with people. So it's been a difficult time. But I think right now, and it seems weird, I'm still kind of at that I can't believe this, you know, stage. So I don't know. It's been
okay.
Tough,
okay. And I know that you do have children, and they're very, well, I say small because they're very young, I guess, in age, which means, you know, I think when there are children involved, I think it makes it even more difficult because now you're having to be, you're having to replace the absent parent, and you're having to kind of be sure that the children are nurtured and are experiencing the grief as they need to, because with children, I know for me, mine started at an early age. I experienced grief at an early age, not being able to identify at that time what grief really, what it was. I didn't really know what it was. But I think so often, particularly back in those days, you know, I don't think children, we were looked at as grieving. Children were looked upon as experiencing grief. And I know that you shared a couple of nights ago that you were taking the kids to an event that were particularly for, especially for kids. And I thought that was very, very, very good to hear, because so often if we don't deal with those issues of grief at that age, according to their age, then that can become a hindrance in life. It can allow other things to set in. So do you want to speak a little bit more about how you have been able to deal with grieving yourself and also continuing to parent now for as a mother and really as a father as well?
Yeah, it, at the time, well, when my husband died, the children were 2 and 5. And so they're 3 and 6 now. And the place that I told you that we were taking them to, the club is called Kate's Club, and it is for children who have either lost a parent or a sibling. And it is a wonderful, wonderful place. Rebecca has learned that there are other children who have lost, you know, their mother or their father, and she's not the only one. And it makes her feel good to be able to talk to other kids and kind of get things off of her chest. And she does, she talks to me some, not, I don't, well, to me, I don't think as much as I'd like for her to, but she does talk to me some. And things come up every once in a while, you know, especially like Thanksgiving, it was like, well, what are you thankful for? And she's like, well, I have you, but I wish Daddy was here, you know. So I just tell her, I'm like, you know, your dad, he's here with us. And I really do feel like he's a, like our guardian angel for us.
And what's the name of the club? We want to get that out.
It's called Kate Club.
Kate, K-A-T-E?
Yes, apostrophe F, yeah, Kate's Club.
Oh,
and it's here.
Okay. Is that an organization that's locally
I want to say that it is. Just it's in you know, here in Atlanta, but you can really, I mean, if you're willing to drive, I mean, you come from anywhere.
Okay.
So, but as far as I know, you know that she's right. It's right here in Atlanta, but I'm sure there are other places that are like that. But they do a lot of things with the children, and I guess they get a lot of donations and have, like, some philanthropists and things like that. So it costs nothing for the kids to go there. They took them to the pumpkin patch. They take them. We went bowling. We do all kinds of things with them. They do stuff just with the kids, you know, arts and things like that. And we never have to pay anything.
Okay.
Kate's
Club, and that's in the Atlanta area. So I know we have a lot of listeners from the Atlanta area. So if you know of anyone, you all share that with people there in your area for those who have children that, you know, have lost a parent or a sibling. That's correct.
Yeah, and they say, you know, I mean, it could be, you know, some people kids live with their grandparents, so it could be a grandparent or, you know, anything like that. And
okay.
You can't Google it, because I did Google it at first. You can find it online.
Okay. Okay. And we'll put that out. Tika and I will put that out as well on our Facebook pages for anyone that wants to go out, that want to go out there and get additional information. And for you all who are listening, if you have some questions for our caller, for our guest tonight, please select the number one and we'll pull you in. Tika is on with us as well. Tika, do you have anything for Shanlee at this time or anything that you want to add before we move on?
Just wanting to know if with her saying that, you know, she's involved herself with the group and for the children and everything. And I guess I just want to know her further steps in grieving, because she says there's times that she feels like, you know, she still can't believe that this has happened. So I just wondered, what steps is she taking, or is she taking any type of steps for herself on healing or moving over, or if that is at all an obstacle in her life to try to just get over that mountain, that area that seems to still be there.
I am I'm doing a couple of biblical readings on grieving. I'm looking at numbering on those, and I began going to a different church where I feel like I'm being fed a little bit more spiritually.
Okay.
So I'm enjoying that. And just kind of, I think I'm trying to become closer with God through all of this, because, I mean, I felt like at the time I was close to him, but after my husband died, I realized, I was like, maybe I wasn't as close as I thought. So this has brought me a lot closer, because honestly, if it was not for God, I would not have been able to make it through this last year.
Absolutely. That was one of the next questions I was going to ask. Has it seemed to deepen your spiritual walk? Or I was going to ask, what was your spiritual walk, and if deepening your spiritual walk has at all kind of eased and helped coping with your loss, it's made it a little bit more bearable. You know, it doesn't go anywhere, but it's just kind of made it more bearable for you to be able to be strong and productive in your children's lives. And so that was the next question, to see if that, you know, had an impact, or where did you go as far as your spiritual walk as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It has made it stronger, definitely. And like I said, I wouldn't have been able to make it through, you know, this last year or so. And every day, I mean, I know that God has a plan, and I continue to tell myself that. I'm like, I don't understand what the plan is, and I guess it's not for me to understand. You know what you're doing, and I'm just going to leave it up to you to do what you do, and continue to tell God, the kids, I know God loves us, and that this is part of his plan, and then we just have to go with it. So.
And this is Tammy. It's amazing. I'm glad she brought that up, because I want people really to be able to identify that it's not something that we have to get over. It's something that we, I think, need to learn to live with. Because in your case, there's no real way to get over losing your spouse, the father to your children and so forth, because they're going to be, your children are just reminders. The home is a reminder. I was looking at, I believe, oh, I look at so much now, Dr. Phil, I think it was, and there was this man that had lost his wife, and what he decided to do, he said, I wanted to wipe away all of the memories. I sold the house, I got rid of everything, and then he found himself wanting all that back because there was this disconnect. And I think society has a way, and sometimes even people have a way of telling us, get over it, it's been years, you should be over this, but, you know, That's just, to me, it's really, really not possible. I lost my grandmother at the age I was in fifth grade, 10 years old, and I'm 44 now, and the better I seem to get in my own life, the more aware I become of just who I am, the more I find myself wanting her around even more now, all these years later, and I think a great deal of that is because I suppressed so much of the grief for so long, and now that, you know, life seems to be opening up in you know, in areas of self-awareness until you want that person even more in your life. And there, the holidays come up, the birthdays, the anniversaries, just the little things, their favorite TV show, you know, in your case, you know, it could be something that you know your spouse liked and loved, a food. It could just be anything at the drop of a dime that reminds you of the person. And I know in researching for this process, I, for me, just want to eliminate, ironically, because these words are in the topic for the show, lost and loved, because we've not lost anybody, you know. I just, in doing the research for this show, just determined I don't like those words for the grief process, lost and loved, because it makes it seem like that person really, 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 really is not part of our life anymore. So for me, that's just this where I came with that. So I'm glad that you brought up the point about, you know, getting over it. And I just like for people to know that it's not something that you have to, don't allow anyone to tell you, you should be over it now. You should be moving on. You can move on, but I don't think there's ever a time you will truly get over the grief. Anything, Shanley, on that?
I'm totally agreeing. You know, I'm like kind of shaking my head, and I'm agreeing with you. Just I have people say strange things sometimes, and I know that I'm not even close to getting over anything. You know, it is a constant thing every day. You know, of course, my children. We live in the same house. We're, you know, we go to the same places that we went with him and things like that. So, even if I wanted to try to get over anything, I couldn't. But it is, it's an everyday, you know, thing, and I'm constantly talking to God and just telling him to help me, you know, through things, because there are things that will happen or something will come up or whatever, and I'll just kind of tear up, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, it's all right, you know. So I agree with everything that you said.
What would you say the one thing that you think, or as many as you'd like to name, but you mentioned friends, that you find out often who your friends really are. And I want you, if you don't mind, to share a little bit about what is it that you feel would have been most helpful to you, or more helpful to you in going through the process. And before answering, I want to ask as well, do you think, well, I think sometimes people draw back out of fear of not knowing what to say, when to say it, and thinking I'm going to make her feel worse or him feel worse, or I'm going to make the situation worse. I think after the initial process where the planning the funeral and attending and the repast, it seems like after that, no one really knows what to say to you or what to do for you. And it's almost like they put up this this wall because they don't want to hurt you anymore. They don't want to feel like they are causing you to cry, when sometimes you need to cry and you need to talk and you need that call in the midnight hour when they run across your mind. So what is it that society could do more of when a friend loses, whether it be a child or a parent or a spouse? What is it that you think would have helped you a bit more? Or do you know what could have?
I think, and I might be a different type of person, I think that it would have helped with allowing me, and I was thinking about this back when you were saying at the very beginning of your show, for someone to listen to me actually talk about Anton, to actually, you know, remember things, and even if it did make me tear up or made me cry, it was a happy, you know, they were happy tears because they were good memories. Even the way that I did things with his service and everything, I didn't want it to feel like it was something that I was saying goodbye. It was like, okay, let's not mourn the passing, but let's celebrate the life that he had. And so I think it would have been better if I had been able to talk a little bit more. I'm not one that's very good about asking for help. I'm very bad about that. But it would have been nice to, you know, have somebody just to come over and maybe take the kids for a couple hours, you know, so that maybe I could, you know, just have a little bit of time, you know, to myself. And but also, you know, like I said, to have someone, you know, say, hey, you know, what about when we did such and such? You remember when Aunt, when he did this or when he did that? You know, just kind of laugh about it. Don't, you know, I've had people haven't even mentioned his name in the last year. You know, and that doesn't help at all.
And that's important. So for our listeners, and we do have our second guest that's going to come on, and their experience is really similar, and I didn't realize this at the time, so I'm just trusting God, and there's going to be a reason for that. But I want our listeners to really hear that, because so often I think people don't mention the names and don't bring up what has happened because they fear. And I'm not saying that's an overall that's the overall reason for everyone, but I think often we just feel like we don't know what to say and how to say it and when to say it, and feel like if I say it, I'm gonna make the situation worse. I'm gonna remind her and she's gonna start crying. I'm gonna remind him and he will start crying and so forth. So listeners, please take note of that. That's something that we all can do more of when we have someone in our lives that is experiencing grief. I'm going to go ahead and bring Charis in with us. Charis, you're on the air with us.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. How are you all?
We're good.
We're great.
Glad you could come on with us.
Thank you. We do have
Tika with us, and we do have Shanlee, and Shanlee is out of Atlanta. And has a similar. I don't think you heard her initial introduction, but Shanlee is from Georgia and lost her husband passed away about a year ago, just a little over a year ago now, right, Shanlee?
Yes.
And it happened suddenly. I think you mentioned that he went outside and said he'd be back in about 10 minutes or so, and had a heart attack in the yard, right? Okay. And Charis, if you don't mind, if we'd like for you to share, you know, what has brought about your grief, how you went through it, just as much as you'd like to share and you feel that you can share about it, and then what helped you get through it, what's your stage now, where are you now, and just as much as you'd like to share, feel free to do so.
Okay. I'm not much of a talker, but, well, 4 years ago, on last Monday, December 3rd, my husband passed away. Suddenly, he wasn't feeling well for a couple of days, and we're trying to get him a doctor's appointment and everything, and on that Wednesday, December 3rd, that morning, we were up and getting ready to head to the doctor, and never made it. He passed out in the bathroom and behind the bathroom door, and I couldn't get to him because the way he fell against the door. They later on, after doing the autopsy, they found out that he had had a blood clot that traveled and exploded in his lung. So, like I said, it was about 4 years ago, and very sudden. You know, we consider ourselves to be healthy and try to eat right, exercise, try to do all of that good stuff or whatever. But it was hard the first couple of years for me. I guess with the place where I am now, I definitely say that I'm not where I was 4 years ago, but it's kind of one of those things where, you know, we say it never goes away, and not that you want it to, it gets easier, you know, I guess for me, those sad times I replace more with happy times and more happy memories. So.
Okay. And for those of you who are listening, if you have some questions or comments, I would just like to share, as it relates to Charis, I shared this with her, that I just remember thinking, she was one of the luckiest women in the world to have found the love that came across when she talked about her husband. And it was, and so I initially, when I heard the news, I thought, I just thought, you know, I had never met him before, but I thought, wow, I don't see how she will get past this. But I just remember seeing her at his change of address. I'll say that because she referenced it. I shared it with her as well that, you know, it was change of address. Not like he's gone. He's just changing his address. And I thought that was so awesome. But there was such strength and faith, and I can't really even give you words to describe what I saw versus what I was expecting to see. And so I shared that with her, and that's just to say that God is God. And with him, we can do all things. We can get through our most trying times with God. And so I shared that with her because all this just happened so timely. I was reading over his change of address program, I would say, and just being reminded of that time where I saw her just trust God. Like Shanlee said, you know, I may not understand, but I just trust that God loves us and loves me and loves my kids and will get us through this. So that's, what I remember about Charis's process and situation. Shanlee, I got a chance to meet her husband once. And again, just a wonderful, seemingly wonderful man, wonderful father, you know, Johnny on the spot kind of father, right there before the kids can even mess up, so to speak. So, you know, there's no way to, like we mentioned earlier, there's no way to get over that. And from what we've learned thus far, when people are grieving, they want to talk about the person because that helps that person live on. And it allows them to express what they're feeling. So please keep that in account. For those of you who are listening, again, the lines are open. We'd like for you to share as much as you'd like to share. Get your questions in. We do have, Teek, I'm going to take this call. We have another caller and then let them go for a second here, okay? And I'm going to check while we're doing that. I'm going to pull the caller in and I'm going to check the chat line, Teek, and I'm going to turn that part over to you on this end, okay?
Okay.
A caller from the 678 area code, last four, 9759. Caller, you're on air with us.
Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
Hi, Teeka.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, girl.
I'm Tasha. I'm a friend of Shanlee, and I really can tell you that everything she said is true. Antoine was just an amazing guy. I remember when I first met Sean, and she came to the house, and I said, you know, you and I, we can't be friends. I said, because you're married, and I'm not married. And I said, because a lot of men don't like their wives to have friends that are not married. But Antoine was different. I remember when they invited me over, and you talking about somebody can cook and fry fish. Shanlee husband can do that. And I mean, when they invited me over, I was in awe because he loved her so. There was nothing that he didn't do for Sean and the kids. I mean, nothing. And I would look at it and say, girl, you are one lucky chick. But I remember the time when Antoine stopped me. He said, why every time when I come home, you jump up and leave? And I said, do you really want to know? And he was like, yeah, I really want to know. I said, because when a man get off from work, he don't want to see his wife's best friend at home. This is your castle. And he was like, you know what, that doesn't bother me. But he was just an amazing guy. He really, truly was. And I get on Sean a lot because she know how I am. Because I always tell her, I say, Sean, you got to take some time for yourself. You got to do some things for yourself. And with Shanlee, she is mother and father right now. And when I tell you, I always tell her, it's two people that I want to be like when I have kids. And that one of them is Tammy Gator, and the other one is Shanlee Wilson Blunt. Because when it comes to their kids, they are mothers you can't even imagine. The kids are first in both of their lives. And I say to Sean, Sean, I love you. You know I love you. I love the kids. And I'll say this to you. Make sure you take out time for self. And I'm always here when you need me. You know that. So just make sure you take out time for yourself. And you're right. He is, Sean Lee, he is all over that house. The pictures are there. The kids talk about him all the time. You talk about him. I talk about him. And I just want to say that he was an amazing guy. He really was. And I love you, Sean. Tika, Tammy, I'll talk to you guys later. Love you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I wanted to just make note that I heard Sean Lee laugh when our caller talked about the fish and the cooking. And I just think that's awesome. And that's what being able to share. I think we want to hear those good stories. We want to hear that you still think about the person that we think about 24/7 sometimes. We want to know that you still honor his living or her living. So I heard you laugh, and that was just warming to my heart. So I just wanted to share what just being able to talk about and hear can do to us in a time of grieving. So awesome. Oh wow. Okay. If we don't have any calls, I want to check the chat line. Charis, are you okay? Anything you want to share from that caller? Anything else you want to add?
Well, I was just going to kind of piggyback on what you were saying earlier when you talked about strength. I heard that from. It's crazy. I heard that from a lot of people. A lot of people that I guess talked about my experience or whatever. Excuse me. They talked about how strong I was. And the one thing that I always emphasize is that anything that anybody ever saw out of me was not me. I give that all to God. Any strength that I saw that was God's, any strength that they saw that was God's strength, I relied on him heavily, heavily to get through. And, you know, I sometimes think I'm kind of what they would call a Jesus freak or whatever, because I'm always talking about how good God is and how I wouldn't be here without him. Having to deal with the loss of Mac, that, I'll be honest, that almost broke me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I owe it all to God. You know, even my sister-in-law, well, I call her my sister-in-law, but she's really, my husband and her husband are cousins, and they grew up like brothers, so we call each other sister-in-law, and our, you know, kids, stepkids or whatever, call each other aunts and uncles. But my sister-in-law, she always just kind of tells me how much I've grown since then, and I guess I never really realized it, that I was just really, I had a really hard time. You know, what people saw during the day is not what went on at night or what went on in my head as far as, you know, the struggles that I really had to face. And, you know, they talk about the stages of grief and all the feelings that you have to come along with. The grief is, it's different. it's crazy and it's real. I mean, when you hear people talk about it, it's like no way that you can kind of go through all of those emotions all at one time, the sadness, the anger, you know, the bitterness, the guilt, all of those things. I felt every one of them at some point and some of them all at one time. And, you know, without God, I give him all the glory just for bringing me through and continuing to bring me through and continue to work on me in that area and in that loss. But, I just kind of want to piggyback on that one.
Well, this is Tammy, and I commend you for knowing and being able to identify. I heard you call out a good number of the grieving stages, and it's important for our listeners to know who are grieving that there are stages, and it's important for you to be able to recognize what am I experiencing at this time so that you know how to respond to it. I think so often when we don't, and this is why this show and these types of shows is so important, because we need to become more aware of who we are at this time and how these things are affecting us and what we need to do to stay on top. So in hearing you say that, I want everybody who's grieving to take some time, as Shawn Lee said earlier as well, she's reading, she's studying things that she's going through that so that she can get an understanding of where she is and how she needs to respond to those different feelings and different stages of the grieving process. And Lord, you know, for me, even doing this show, it helped me to understand, you know, the guilt and the depression and the obsession, the acceptance of it, the recovery stage. And then to realize that where you may be at the recovery today and a simple reminder will take you right back as if it was yesterday. And I remember thinking today, just feeling like this is like, I've never had a broken arm or a broken limb, but I can imagine how it feels initially, and then you get your medication and you get your cast on and you're okay, but break it again. Let somebody hit it or step on it or something like that, and boy, I can imagine it must feel worse than the initial break. And so that's when I started to think about it with grief, you know, how my grandmother's birthday, you know, or I have aunts, and I have a very special cousin that I lost. And I remember being in the grocery store and seeing someone that reminded me of her and just breaking down crying and people looking at me like, what just happened? And so I had to explain. And then the person, what she did was she left. She turned and had her son pay for the stuff, and she thought instantly, I need to run. I need to get out of her sight. When I just wanted to see more of her. But that's what, you know, people think that we don't want to remember. We don't want to talk about it, or we don't need to. So, I mean, it's important, you all, to go over. And I have some information tonight on those stages, and I'm sure Tika has some additional information as well. If we get to that, fine. If we don't, you all, please research and go out and learn and determine where you are in this grieving process, and know that it is a continued process. Again, birthdays, holidays, anniversaries, the person's favorite show, favorite food, best friend. You can run into all these things can happen instantly that will take you to another process of the grieving process. So very important to keep that in mind. Again, the lines are open. I think I have a text message, and I want to check that as well. Okay. Well, we have someone that just sent a message just saying, great show. Thank you. My heart is so full. And this person just recently lost her mother. And I know that she's going through it. She started to go through it before. Mm-hmm. And that's something else, if we have time, we wanted to talk about, you know, is there ever a way to prepare for this, even if the person is sick. But so many things have happened here lately which prompted us to do this show. We just have so many people that are experiencing grief. And I say to my friend there, please, you know, I know it may be a little difficult for you, but come on and share with us about your mom. Tell us what you went through, what you're going through, and what you need from us, because I'm one of those people, sometimes, you know, I just text you and I really don't know what to say, but I'll try to do better. So if you want to come on and share anything with us tonight, doesn't have to be right now, but if you feel the need to, certainly select the number one and we'll bring you in to talk. Okay, anything, Shawn Lee or Sharis, you all want to share about the grieving process, any of the stages of grief? I know that you mentioned some of them. Sharis, anything, any advice or anything on those different stages of grief?
Well, I guess for me, is if no one has ever taken some type of grief class or gone to a grief support group, I would recommend it. For me, I went, well, right after I did the EAP program through my job where, you know, you get free counseling sessions, or whatever, and you could choose a Christian counselor, and I did that. And honestly, I don't think I was in the right place to receive some of the stuff that she was saying, but I'm still glad that I went, because it's kind of one of those things that even if there's some things that you don't want to hear, they kind of deposit it in your spirit, and later on you kind of go back and remember those things. As far as the grief support group, I actually didn't do that until a year later, and it's a group called Grief Share. And I know here in Memphis there were some churches that did it. And I actually found this one at Brown Baptist. They have their ministry, their grief ministry. And I went to that, and the thing that it did for me is it let me know that the things that I was feeling were okay, and that the emotions that I had and the thoughts that I had were normal. And I guess so for me that was kind of a comfort. I mean, it was a hard thing to go through, and kind of a hard thing to go through those emotions all over again, but at the same time it just let me know that it was okay. And one thing about grief, when we talk about the stages of grief and everything, unfortunately it's something that you have to go through. You know, we can't go as much as we want to. We can't go around it. We can't jump over it. We have to go through it. And like I said, the thing that just helped for me was just to give all of those emotions over to God. I remember one time I went and sat with my mom for a couple of months because we had just got a house before my husband passed. And so I went and stayed with her for a couple of months before coming back to the house. And one thing I remember is pulling in the driveway and just screaming and just telling God that if you don't do something, I'm going to go crazy and I'm not going to make it. And I think, you know, I'm thankful that I guess he put that in me to reach out to him. But like I say, you know, this one thing, I wouldn't have made it without him and without really giving it all over to him. And even now, you know, asking him to search those deep places within me that still need healing. But I encourage anyone to, you know, try a grief group. You know, you can look up Grief Share. If you go to their website, they also have it where you can sign up for daily emails. I know for those who may not be comfortable talking to other people, like I initially wasn't, you know, just reading and journaling. So, but anyway.
Okay. Well, I think I would suggest that, you know, again, I didn't really realize that your stories were so similar, and I know that you're in different parts of the state, even Georgia, but your stories are very similar. So I encourage you all to, you know, to keep in touch with each other, because, you know, it's like you said, it's been 4 years. Nine, ten, is it 4 years, Shari, for you now?
Yep.
Three or four.
Yeah, four.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And as you just said, you know, you still you find yourself having to ask God even now to dig deep and search. So you recognize that there's still some areas, and that goes back to saying this is not something that we get over. So it's important for us to recognize that the grieving process is a continual process. Don't be so hard on yourself. Like Shara said, she pulled up to the house and screamed, and she just was very honest with God about where she was at that time. And she may have to do that again one day, but it's important to do it rather than to keep it in or isolate yourself or something like that. So, again, we encourage questions. We encourage comments. We have so many people that listen to our archive shows. So you don't know how you will help people from all over. The bulk of our listeners come from, you know, the archive shows. People are able to go back and listen at their leisure. And we have thousands and thousands of people that listen to the shows privately. So we encourage you to share what you have gone through, what you're going through, how you're going through it. If you just need to come on and just say, I need to cry, we will listen tonight. But share that, because holiday times, again, birthdays, celebrations, and there's so much more going on in this world today, so much more. People have so much more upon them. People are losing jobs. They're, you know, families are not connected as they used to be. And so much isolation is taking place, and it's easy for people to get so low to where they just don't want to be here anymore. And I just have the feeling that this show tonight is really going to bless some people where they are right now in their lives and give them hope to move past the grief, to get them through to a point where they can start to recover and embrace where they are now and continue to have the loved one be alive with them. So I challenge you all to really get in. I'm going to check the chat line real quick here. Tika?
I just want to say thank you to, I wanted to just thank the two guests, Shanley and Charles, for joining us and having the courage to do this, be on the show tonight, because, you know, even though you may share individual with people, I know it's not the easiest thing to come on a radio show and share this, but as Tammy mentioned, this will bless whoever listens to the show tonight, and I also believe that it would be a blessing and a milestone in both your lives as well, increasing your healing as well as, you know, preparing you for the next step in the next stages, because I also know that the both of you will be used as a ministry and a source of healing for other women who have walked this same walk. So I do want to just continue to speak encouragement into your lives. And like I said, I just want to thank you for sharing, you know, such personal stories, because in doing the research for this show, I've learned myself that the single most important factor in healing from a loss or healing from losing a loved one is having the support from other people. And that support means being able to talk with them. Like you mentioned, I think it was you, Shars, that mentioned it wasn't that you just want to talk about sad times, but you also want to talk about the happy times as well. And so when Tammy mentioned earlier that sometimes people tend to shy away because they don't know what to say and they think they're going to make you cry, I don't think that there's anything that could be said, whether it relates to the person or not, that will keep the tears from coming. But just being able to express your feelings, just being able to release and to have someone to talk to that genuinely cares for you, I believe that that's a great form of healing in that. And that's something that I didn't know until doing the show. I thought that, you know, there was a certain amount of time that you had to give a person for healing, and I thought that if you said things to trigger that, it only made their healing process prolonged. But really, it is a part of the healing, but it helps the healing, and it helps the coping, and it helps, even if you're talking about it and bringing up memories, they're good times, and they're good things to talk about, and those good things that make you smile, like you said, those are happy tears sometimes. And happy tears that pulls that heaviness, whatever kind of heaviness you're experiencing, I know that once you cry those happy tears, it lifts that heaviness. And like Tammy mentioned and like both of you ladies mentioned, it's going to always be there, always be there. There will always be the memory of your loved one. But it's learning how to live with it. And like I said, I know that the two of you guys will bless someone through your ministry in telling your stories.
Right. Thank you, Tika. We have another message, and this is. I'm glad she sent this message in, because it will allow me to cover another area. And this message just says that it's a great show, great job. Your guest has covered all the feelings that I'm dealing with, and this person lost her. This person's mom is no longer with us. I hate that word, lost. But her mother is no longer with us. And her mother is my aunt. And her funeral, I was not able to attend because it was during the time of my son's graduation. It's graduation year. But this... I want to put this in the proper words, and I share this with her often, but for me, this has been the most easiest to deal with, and I say because I didn't go to the funeral. I was able to, even now, it's like she's just not in the same, like, she just lives in another state, and we've not talked for a while, and she's still with me. Like, she's not gone. And I have since then said that I'm not going to go to funerals, and then someone will pass away, and I'll decide to go. But I'm going more so for the person. I'm really not wanting to go. Like, I'm really wanting to keep kids that's in a different area, but I don't want to be anywhere near the funeral itself. I'm learning that I want to just remember the person as I remember them. And I know that doesn't have to work for everyone, but this is the one person that I felt that I've been able to deal with better because I experienced a death at such a grief at such a young age, the loss of my grandmother, is that word again, but my grandmother, and then, you know, so many people after that, I just had kind of become numb to it. And every time I'd go to a funeral, I felt like I was at everybody's funeral that I had been to prior to. And I had to get to a point where I had to start dealing with that. But, you know, just in light of our person's mother, you know, if there was anybody ever to remember her, because she was full of life. She just lived the life that she wanted to live, and you either loved it or you didn't. So, and to you, our listener, I say, you know, if you could live one day like your mom lived, and that was just happy. I don't ever remember her. Even when she was sad, she seemed to be happy. So, you know, honor that. And maybe that's another reason why I feel like she's just here, because she's just so, she turned a bad moment into a joke, you know. So I just say to anybody again, and to you too, come on, and if you just share something about the person, this is your night to talk. This is your night to tell us something good about the person that will make us laugh as well, and it will, you know, continue to allow you to embrace a happy, like Tika said, a happy moment. And like Shanlee mentioned, you know, they just want to talk, want you to say something about the person. So I challenge you, listeners, for those of you who are talking to me, I know it may be a difficult process to come on and talk. And again, if we just stop for a minute and allow you your tears to flow, sometimes tears are just, my son told me, he said, sometimes, Mom, you know, crying is like God washing you in his word, because every now and then I'll really break. And he just happened to see me break a few months ago, where all he could do was just say, do you want me to come? Do you want me to come over? And I couldn't even say yes or no. I couldn't even talk. I was crying so hard. But later he told me, he said, sometimes God is just washing you clean. Just cry. Just let God, that's God's word, just cleaning you up. So if you all need to cry tonight with us, please feel free to do so. Select the number one. So the lines are open. Shanlee, Shires, anything else? You know, we want you guys to stay on as long as you possibly can. I know, Shanlee, you have two young ones, and you may have to run, but we want you to stay as long as you can. Anything else you all want to share or have to add?
I wanted to say that I believe Grief Share, it must be, because I did that here about a month ago here in Georgia, that same thing, and it was a church that offered it. You know, after service was over. And actually it was at the time, partly I thought it was helpful, and then the other part of me was like, well, I'm not, you know, going through that, or I'm not doing that, you know, or whatever. But I agree with the other caller, I forgot her name, I'm sorry, that, you know, later on you, like, look back and you'd be like, well, they did have a good point, you know, or wait, you know, we talked about this. I remember them saying, you know, this or whatever. Because I'm going through some stages that I went through a lot, like I said, dealing with different things that my family did and stuff. So I think when I went through that, I think it kind of delayed my grieving, because I was dealing with so much stuff that I felt like I really just started grieving within the last few months, because I was dealing with so much stuff before. So it's like I'm going through a lot of the things now, you know, like I said earlier, where it's a, you know, gosh, I can't believe it kind of a thing. You're actually gone, you know. I have to do this on my own. This wasn't, you know, how it was supposed to be. This wasn't the plan. you know, kind of thing. So I think the grief share thing was a really good thing. And I think that's something that has helped me, especially with dealing with the kids, is that we do things, we had some traditions that we do, like we go to Disney World every year, and so we have some traditions that we do. And I wanted to not only honor the things that we did with my husband, but I wanted to try to start some of our own traditions where, you know, the kids could be like, oh, you know, we can do something, you know, this way or whatever. So I wanted to not only honor him, but for us to realize, okay, well, this is how things, you know, this is what God has dealt us, so this is how things are now, and this is what we can do with our family as it is now.
Okay. Good point. I wanted to, and we're going to write grief share down as well, and I wanted to share, for those of you who are in the Memphis area, I was speaking with a lady today that attends, Germantown United Methodist Church is having a program tomorrow at 6:30, and it's called Blue Christmas. And you can actually find out more information. It's free to the public, and it's, again, called Blue Christmas, and it's for people, anyone that's experiencing grief or have experienced grief. It's a free program. They're going to have a refreshment served. In addition to that, they also have a program called the Stephen Ministry, and this is where they will assign someone from the church that has been trained in different areas, so to speak. They will assign someone just for you that will meet with you, I think, initially. I think it's at the church, but they will assign someone that is just for you to help you through any difficult time that you are experiencing. And this is also a free program for anyone of the age 17 and up. So, you know, we're talking about grief tonight, but if you know of someone, and again, this is for the Memphis area only, and the church, again, is Germantown United Methodist Church. The number is 901-754-7216. The website is germantownnumc.org, and we will put that on the Butterfly Evolution link on Facebook and, again, on our separate pages, Tika and I. And, again, that number, you can call and get information tomorrow, 901-754-7216. The church is located at 2331 South Germantown Road, and that's in Germantown, Tennessee. So two really great programs. One is for tomorrow night at 6:30. The other program is an ongoing ministry, I should say. It's an ongoing ministry where they will work with you one-on-one to assist you with. The young lady that I spoke to today, she said it could be they have people that have lost their jobs and experiencing, you know, going through that process of just, you know, whatever you go through, you just felt fear, basically. So they will assign someone. I thought that was an awesome, awesome thing. So, you know, learn what's going on in your community. I think Brown Baptist had something a few weeks ago. I think one of my good friends who just lost her mom recently here went to a service, and I believe it was called Holiday Blues, but many things going on in your area, I'm sure. You just have to really get out, search, and attend. I do have a question for you, Sean Lee, if I may. You mentioned earlier that you were, you're not one to kind of to ask people for help, and you also mentioned that you would have wanted people to, or someone to kind of come over or call and or come and get the kids and things like that. And I know for me, I'm not one for asking for help either, and I'm trying to get better with that. But, and this is in all areas, but what I wanted to ask is, and for our listeners, if someone had called or came over and demanded, said, I'm taking the kids, you need time alone, and or we are doing this and sending you there, would you have allowed them would you have accepted the help? You're not good at asking, but are you? Do you think you're good at accepting it? Because I probably would not have been if I were. I probably said no. I want my kids here. And so I want to just kind of talk about that a minute. Would you have been open to accepting help?
I actually, I had a woman who did that to me. It was Mother's Day, just this past Mother's Day, because she said she asked me what my plans were, and I said, well, I don't have any plans, you know, because I'm the mother, so. You know, any other time Antoine would have, you know, said, hey, we're going to do this or, you know, whatever. So she was on her way to my house. So she, like, pretty much was like, look, I'm going to come and take your kids and we're going to go and I want to get you something. And I was like, oh, no, you don't have to do that, you know. And she was like, no, I'm already on the way to your house. I'm going to take the kids. You take, you know, a couple hours for yourself. We're going to go do something and we're going to meet up with you later so we can get something to eat. So that was like, she, like, pretty much forced herself upon me, which honestly, you know, was a very nice thing. It really was. She bought me a gift card to have a pedicure, which I had never had before. So that was a very nice thing that she did. And actually, when she called me and she said, she asked me, you know, was I doing anything? Has anybody done anything for me? And nobody had. Nobody did anything. And so, you know, when she said, I'm going to come and get your kids, and I said, you know, today's Mother's Day and you have three kids of your own. You know, and she said, well, my husband, he took the kids. He told me to go take some time for myself. And she's like, I really want to do this for you. She said she felt like the Lord had led her to call me and ask me if, you know, anybody had done anything. And this is something that she felt that she needed to do. And actually, I'm not a very emotional person, but it made me cry. Because
wow.
It was just, you know, I was like, wow, you know, just for her to, you know, he's giving you your time and you're willing to take your time that you have away from your kids to be with my children, you know, was just a huge thing. So I guess in that instance, kind of being forced upon, then yes, I would have, you know, said okay. But if Latasha's still on the phone, she would say that I'm not very good at saying, hey, can you come and take the kids? So. But I'm not very good with asking for help. But, you know, I guess it's kind of one of those things. I feel like they're my children and they're my responsibility. So, you know, I try not to, you know, push myself off on anybody else, even though what I could probably use a break every once in a while.
I think that's a great point because, you know, again, listeners, let's hear this because, and again, I'm learning here tonight, too, because I need to do better with those friends and family members. You know, something about Mother's Day, I just never thought about that. But here's a time where, you know, if Antoine was here with us, he would be honoring you on that day and the kids. And so surely, you know, those things that we need to think more about and how can we help that person at that time. So great gesture. And thanks to that person who reached out to you in that way and demanded an answer of yes.
You know, this really makes us mindful, like Tammy said, this makes us mindful of the things that we weren't aware of, because a lot of times we you know, at the beginning moment or at the time that this occurs, you know, a lot of people are there. But as time goes on, most of us get so warped with our own lives, we tend to forget of, you know, the people that, okay, well, you know what, their loved one is not with them anymore. And so this also gives us recognition in the things that we need to sometimes step outside of ourselves to be there for people who have lost their loved ones. Because, you know, for me, with my girls being older, this is something that I could do for a mother who has younger children. So this allows us to step outside of ourselves as well and think of others. And so, I mean, that's really what God wants us to do as well. He wants us to, you know, serve. serve others, and this is a great way for us to serve others. And this is something, like I said, just doing the show and doing the research for the show, and even hearing you, the two of your stories, it's just opened up my mind so much more, and it's just revealed some things that I wasn't aware of. And so, but most of these shows, it is truly God-directed and something that is meant to bring to the awareness of Tammy and I and all of our listeners as well. So I'm overjoyed by having this show. I truly am.
Well, we thank you, Tika, and we do have another caller, and we have another text message as well. I'm going to go ahead and pull the caller in first. And, caller, we have you on air from 229 and the last four, 7020. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
We are good.
It's been great.
Glad you decided to come in.
No problem. It was just, your guests have touched a lot of topics, a lot of subjects that I'm still dealing with. And I try to get easier day by day. I just take it one day at a time. But, you know, I've lost my mom and my dad, so it's still kind of hard on me. But with the Lord, with the strength of the Lord, I make it. That's the way I make it. I pray to ask God to give me strength.
Okay. And where do you are in the process, being that you lost your mom and dad so closely, you know, it's not that close, but it seems like it was just so close to me. But what stage of grieving do you think you're in, and how do you think it has affected you, you know, losing both your mom and dad as far as the grieving process? Do you feel like you're at the same stage on both, or do you find that you might be grieving in one area for your mom and grieving in another area as far as your dad is concerned, because of the differences in how, you know, they both gave to your life?
Well, as I look at it, to me right now, I feel like I'm in a different stage, because when my mom died, me and her was staying in Albany, and I, like, moved from there, and I was there with both of them when both of them took their last breath, but it's just like I'm in a different stage. It's like with my dad, it's more fresher on me than it is with my mom.
Okay.
It's like I done came a long way with her, from with dealing with her death than I have with my dad. It's like really with my mom, around her birthday and Mother's Day and around Christmas, it's kind of hard. Kind of hard with both on around Christmas, but really with my mom around her birthday and Mother's Day. But I ask to pray and ask the Lord to give me strength, and I feel like I get better day by day. But
okay.
It do be at times where I be by myself, and it's like I could see like the whole week when they was in a hospital or wherever, and they died. I just have visions of it at times, not all the time, but at some point in my life, I do see it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any advice you could give to our listeners on getting through what they're going through?
Yeah, basically pray and find you somebody. Well, have a friend that you could talk to, or anybody that you could talk to about them. Because me, by talking to you about my mom or even my dad, it made me stronger, and that's the way I deal with it, by talking about them. It helps to get better, but it takes time. It don't happen overnight. Because, like I said, I have came a long way with dealing with my mom better than I have with my dad. But it just takes time.
Okay. Any questions for our caller from any of you, or any advice from any of you all? Tika, Shun Lee, or Sharis? Okay. Well, I think we're at a point in the show where, you know, it's starting, I think, to kind of hit everybody. But thank you for sharing And I just want to say as part of your family that I hope to do better. I need to do better, you know, by being there more for you. And this show has enlightened me as well. So sometimes I think we just think everybody's okay now. It's been, time has passed. And why I would ever think that way, because certainly I still deal with my issues after all these years. So just for everybody, try to be there more for people. So anything else you want to share before we move on?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you again. And
thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Okay? You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, we have another text that I want to read, and then we'll see where we are and move on from there. But this is the person that texted us earlier that I explained. She lost her mom just recently, and her mom has been sick for a while. And she just says again that she's listening and thanks for doing the show, that a lot of people are hurting. She's just going through a lot of hurting and just leaning on the Lord, and she really, really misses her mom. So, again, you know, again, people are grieving, people are hurting, and we really, really need to reach out more. And what we've gotten, if anything, from tonight is that we want to talk about our grief. We want to talk about the person who has, as Shari said, changed their address. I just love that saying, that just has changed their address. I don't like lost and I don't like loved. And I just realized that in the midst of doing this show, preparing for the show. So, Shari and Chun Lee, anything else you all want to add? How much time do we have with you all? We still have quite a bit of callers on with us, and they're out there. They're just probably listening, taking it all in. So, Shelly, Charles, how are you for time?
Well,
I'm okay.
You okay?
Mhm. I'm okay as well.
Okay. Well, as Tika was saying, thank you all. I know this is difficult, and I'm just strengthened by your courage and your strength to be able to get through just through the show. So, and you're helping so many people, and because the show is archived, I can only imagine how while we're sleeping, while we're working, who could be listening, who will be listening to the show, and just by listening or aloud, you know, just a little, just time and the strength to move on through the day. And I think if we can get to a point where, Lord, today, I'm going to embrace today and not worry about how I'm going to feel tomorrow. And so thank you all. As Tika said, thank you all for agreeing. And I, again, hope that you all keep in touch with each other because, you know, I just don't think it's a mistake that your stories are so similar. And I pray and I hope that you all will connect and find something to do with that. And I say to our listeners as well, you know, when we are in that first stage, when someone changes their address, it's a new saying, Shires, we're going to make something with that. But when someone changes their address, you know, while we are, you know, that first day, we are Johnny on the spot. We are over there. We're calling. We're taking food. You know, the second day we're getting prepared, getting our outfits ready, you know, planning to go to the funeral or the change of address ceremony. And then after that, it seems like we just stop and we go away when really that grief is going to start to sink in when things have quieted down, because initially you got plans to make and you're basically in shock. You're basically, you know, right, you all. You're trying to plan everything, and you don't really have time to just feel and grieve. And then all of a sudden, it's quiet, and nobody's calling. Everybody's gone, and now, what do I do?
Right. It's those moments. Yeah. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh,
go ahead,
Charles. I was agreeing with what she said.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, Dorothy, you remember something as well?
I was just agreeing as well. I had a very close friend of mine that kind of went through a similar situation, and one of the things, you know, I tried to, I was there the day of, but I kind of tried to keep my distance because I knew, like you said, it's after everyone is gone and gone, when seemingly they've gone back to their lives and our lives have changed, and you're kind of looking around like, okay, what next? Those are the moments, you know, you kind of want people to check in on you. And just for those, even for me, having gone through it, it's hard for me. I don't ever know what to say, or, you know, I should do better about reaching out to other people as well that I've known have gone through having somebody that's changed their address or that's passed away. But it is kind of comforting when people reach out to you, you know, months later, even years later, like with you, Tammy. Like I said, the email that you sent me just really, it really touched me because I didn't, I'll be honest, I don't remember the conversation outside of Schmooks. You know, but just the fact that you share in his memory, just even just hearing about him, and you shared that, not lost, but just that passed away along with me, and even with some friends of mine on the anniversary of the day that he passed away, you know, they'll call and they'll text, you know, whatever, and it's just. It's comforting to know that you're not alone in your thoughts, I guess you could say. And even with some people I know, right after Mac had passed away, there were some friends of mine that I knew they didn't reach out because they probably didn't know what to say, because I had conversations with other friends about it because it was kind of hurtful that they never said anything, or not even just a card, a sympathy card. But, you know, she reminded me that people don't always know what to say. And 2 years later, it was either two or three years later on the anniversary of his passing, she gave me a card. And this is somebody who never said anything to me or expressed any type of thoughts about it after his passing. And that did something. So, you know, just little things like that, it really does just kind of warm, just say, hey, I'm thinking about you, just checking in on you, you know, so.
Right, and I can remember just on behalf of Mac, and again, I never met Mac, but, you know, I went to the change of address ceremony, and I felt I knew him just because of that conversation you and I had outside of Snooks that day I ran into you, and I felt like I knew him through you. I felt like, wow, you know, how blessed she is. I could feel that. It's just sometimes you just know somebody got it right, and you think, thank Lord, there is a chance. There is his face. And that's how I felt about him and you and what you all shared together. Although I never got to see it, I just never forgot that moment with you at Snooks. I just never forgot it. So you are exactly right, you know, when you responded saying that's why we always need to be mindful of basically who we are bringing glory to. Our lives are to glorify God at all times. And you did that well. You did that really, really well during your time. And I know you've had your days and your moments and your time that I and many people didn't see. But what we did see, what I saw, was strength and faith and trust. That's what I saw. So our lines are open, you all. I'm going to check the chat line. And then I do want to go over briefly. I know we've spent quite a bit of time, and I think and I allotted all of the time because we didn't want to leave anybody out, but we want to just kind of briefly go through some of those grieving stages so that, and I'm not sure if I was able to get them all, so maybe what I don't have, Tika will have something different on, or maybe Shanley and Charis can share a little bit, but we've touched on a good number of them just in talking, but the denial and the numbness or shock is what one of them I found, and that's a lot summed up in one, but denial, numbness, or shock, and that's kind of disowning. I think we often have to do this in order to get through that initial process of making the arrangements, as we talked about, for the funeral, and the stage that we almost feel like we have to. I think we just take on this role of numbness, and we're operating, sometimes doing things that we may not even remember later and think, how did I get through this? I think it happens so quickly until, and then everybody's suddenly gone, and then you don't really know what to do with your feelings. So anything you all want to share on the denial, the numbness, or the shock part of the grief? And at what stage do you think you went through this, or if you did at all?
I know that with me, and I'm not sure exactly where this would fall, my husband and I had always talked about being cremated. And I remember coming home because he died at night. It was a little after 9 o'clock at night, and I remember, you know, coming home from the hospital, and I couldn't have been home but maybe an hour, and already the people were calling me because I wanted to donate his organs. I was like, you know, anything that he can use. My husband was all, he always wanted to help people, so anything that they could use that could possibly help anyone, you know, I wanted to, you know, for them to be able to do that, and I wasn't home but an hour or so, and they were already calling me to get my permission to take his organs and everything. And the woman, she apologized. She's like, you know, I feel so bad, and I wouldn't want that job, but I felt so bad. You know, she felt so, yeah, they have to, because it's in a timely manner that it has to be done. And I told her I understood. And I remember at that time I wasn't crying. I think I was numb at that time.
Still in shock, right?
Yeah, I was in shock because it was only a couple hours, and I think I was numb and in shock at that time. It was just like, wait a second, you know, he's gone, you know, and they want his organs and stuff. He's gone, you know. It was like, okay, so I do remember that. Some of that stuff is all a blur because it's only been a little over a year, but I remember that.
Okay. Sharice, what about you? Any? What do you remember most about the denial or the numbness and the shock part?
That's kind of a hard question for me to answer. I know, I guess as far as shock goes, it probably initially probably really hit me in the middle of the night. That night, because he passed away that morning, and then we came to the house, and we had a lot of people at the house and coming by, whatever. Then later on that night, I just remember waking up in the middle of the night and just crying.
Okay.
And I guess that's when kind of the reality hit me initially, but I think I was kind of probably in denial for a while, for a few months. It's kind of hard for me to explain that part of it, but I was in denial for a while. And the fact that, I guess one day my mom, she just told me, she was like, you're single. And that was hard for me to hear, especially, I guess, coming from somebody so close to me. And I'm just like, no, I'm not single, I'm married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was, I guess as far as denial, that part, that reality of it, that took me a while to accept that, okay, yeah, I guess I am single now. I'm no longer married.
Right.
That was a hard one. And, you know, and sometimes it's still kind of hard for me to say, because, you know, he's still my husband, you know.
What prompted your mom? Was it your mom's way? Do you think it was her way of saying, what do you think prompted her to say that? I can imagine being a mom and having to say that, but I think I would be trying to get a message across, baby, you got to pick it up and kind of...
I, I'm, And I'm sure there was a message. You know, my mom, she's not going to just say that just to be hurtful or anything like that. But I don't remember the particular conversation, but that's just one of those conversations that where I was just like, I guess I have to, that's something I had to accept is that, okay, yeah, you're, I don't know.
Okay.
That was a denial. I guess that was the big thing for me when it comes to denial part of it.
Okay.
I had something, well, not exactly similar, but I was out with some people from church, and it was a bunch of ladies, and I can't remember why we were at, I think we were at, like, Olive Garden or someplace, and somehow they started talking about who was married at the table and, like, how many people were single. And so they got around, and they got to counting, and they counted, and I was like, they didn't count enough people that were married because I included myself. And I was like, and one of the ladies, she kind of mouthed, you know, I could kind of read her lips, and she's like, are you okay? And then it just dawned on me that they included me in the single people. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm single. You know, I'm a widow, and I'm single. And it just, I guess that was one of the moments where I was like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. You know, kind of a thing. It just like a, I don't know, something kind of hit me at that moment, maybe sort of the same thing that happened with you and your mom. Like a little, you know, kind of like come to realization type thing. So I remember that.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like it's a jolt of reality that you didn't expect, and it forces you to see it in a totally different way. When I can see that being extremely hard to even accept. I really, really can't see that really hard to accept. And it's a stage. It's the stages that I know it takes to get there. So after realizing that, did you find yourself jumping back to denial, or was it hard trying to embrace and accept that for both of you? That question's for both of you.
I think after you know that kind of like took a little while for me to say, oh my gosh, I have to start accepting the fact that he is gone, because I did go through a period where I would come around a corner, you know, and expect him to be sitting in his favorite chair, or, you know, think I kind of felt like a presence or something, you know, there. So I think it was kind of like that was one of my things where it was like I really needed to start accepting the fact that he was gone, and that I had to, you know, try to press on, you know, with things. Because our children are very young, because they were, like I said, they were 2 and 5 at the time. But at that time, we had been together almost 16 years. So we waited a very long time to have children. I was 20 and he was 19 when we met. And so, we didn't want to just jump into having children, you know, right away. So we wanted to enjoy each other and enjoy, you know, life. And in hindsight, I'm glad that we did have that time together. And those are memories that I can definitely hold on to. But yeah, at that time, I think that helped me, kind of pushed me into the acceptance stage, because it was like at that moment, you know, I realized I am single. Mm. So,
what about you, Charis? How did that to put it in such defining words with your mother saying it to you, did you take that moment and go into stages of acceptance, or did you find yourself kind of retreating backwards and maybe grabbing towards denial again?
After that particular conversation, I think I was still in denial.
Okay.
Just to be, you know, transparent, completely transparent.
Yeah.
After that one, I was still in denial. Probably still took me some time to come around. Because even when they would talk at church, talk about at a smaller church and talk about the ministries we want to start, and another lady at church kind of excited was like, well, we're going to start a singles ministry, and me and Charis, we're going to, you know, and I'm like, hold on, you know. So just to be transparent, you know, and I know everybody means well, you know, and I didn't take it I guess, personally, because I know the people, I know their hearts, and I know they didn't mean anything bad by it. That was just me still dealing with certain things within myself that I was still having to, wasn't ready to turn that part over to God to let him heal, work on that one, you know. Mm-hmm. But it took a while to come around, but I did, you know.
Right, and everybody's walk is totally different because it's a journey.
Right.
It's a journey for everyone, and so everybody's journey is not going to go through a stage, a series, or even the five stages of grief. Everybody's journey doesn't go through those five stages as they're laid out, and some go back to those stages and revisit them and stay in those stages for a while. So everybody's journey is completely different because it's the, you know, depending on the relationship and the distance of the relationship and the individual, of course, as well. So everybody's journey is totally different in
right.
that type of situation. I do know that.
And I think maybe for me it just may have been kind of God's little reminders of me that I did have to at some point come to the acceptance stage.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For any of you, I know as we talk about it being different stages, I know I found myself wondering, for instance, we've had callers and people that have expressed, you know, they've lost their mom and dad or both, and then, you know, we have people out there, for instance, there's a group that I need to share as well, Grieving Mothers. And this is a Facebook group for anyone that may be listening tonight or will be listening to one of the archive shows. If you have a change of address for a child, you know, Grieving Mothers may be something that you can connect with. But I think it's also different in that we should recognize that, for instance, Sharis and Shanlee, you know, losing a spouse, father of your children would be different. Not that it would hurt any more or less, but your process or your stages of grief would be different with if it were sibling, a friend, parent, and so to speak. So I think it's also important to identify, you know, the relationship, as Tika brought up, you know, the relationship to you as well, and understand that not every person will grieve the same and not every situation is the same. And I think we do, for the most part, grieve differently when we have, based on, you know, whether it's a spouse, a child, or parent, in that sense. We do have another text, and this is from one of our listeners as well, and this person lost their mom about 5 years ago and just is expressing that the person, the idiot that killed his mom, still hasn't said so much as sorry. So not only is it who we lose, and sometimes it's how, you know, if it's sudden, you know, the method that the change of address takes place, and so to speak. So there's so much that plays into it that we have to take into account, even as the person grieving. And I think some things may set in as guilt, you know. I thought that was one of the stages that stood out more as well, because I think we can so quickly get into that, well, I should have did this, I should have said this, if there was things that were left unsaid or undone, you know, or, you know, maybe I should have been, just things that I should have, would have, could have, so to speak. And I think that can allow, we allow that to have some guilt set in, which is, I think, a dangerous stage of grieving, and one that we should really talk to people about and share that we're going through it. But there are many other stages as we approach our second hour. And again, I know that you all, it's getting late, particularly for you, Shanlee, because you're in Eastern Standard Time. But just to name a few more, and then we ask that you all take the time for our listeners to really research this, because this will be helpful to you to research these things yourself and read up on them and determine, where am I now? Where am I today? Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about where you were yesterday in your grieving process. Even if you do that after tonight's show, take some time. You can Google just as we do. You can pick up a book just as we do and determine where you are. Scriptures. You can find scriptures on grief. And so do that and try to determine where you are, because, again, this is an ongoing process, because, again, we have holidays, we have birthdays, we have anniversaries, we have things that remind us every day. So take the time to identify the stages of your life, period. So often I think we just walk through life day by day, not being concerned about our thoughts, not being concerned about what we're going through, just saying, oh, okay, this is it. This is what I have to deal with. We have to deal with it by acknowledging it and taking it upon ourselves to determine where we are and what do we do about it. If not, you will continue to go back, as we bought up the trash can, you will continue to go back to where you moved the trash can from. And we don't ever want to stay in the same place. We want to continually grow through whatever life brings us with the trust and our faith in God. So, Chun-Li and Charis, now that we're coming, we have just about 15 minutes left for the show. I'd like to give you all, Tegan, I would like to give you all the opportunity just to share some your last words and, you know, thoughts on whatever you think will help our listeners out there. What has gotten you through? I know that you talked about that a little bit earlier, so if you want to reiterate on that, but just share with us where you are, and, or as much as you'd like to, before we end the show. And again, we just want to thank you so, so much, Tegan. I just want to thank you all for coming on tonight. So just give us anything that you'd like to share with the listeners before we work to end the show. We'll start with you, Chun-Li, if you don't mind, since you are on Eastern Time and have two little ones.
I just want to say I think it was a great show. I mean, I'm not really much of a talker, and I don't know how much I contributed, but hopefully, you know, it was something. And, I mean, I enjoyed being able to, I guess, maybe get, you know, my message out, and maybe something that I said was able to, you know, say to someone else, hey, maybe that's, you know, I should have thought of that or something. I know even when I was saying it to you guys, I was like, well, I think, like when I was saying something about the lady coming and getting the kids for Mother's Day, I kind of always kind of made a parallel between that and, like, when someone first has a baby. You know, everybody's all like, oh, the baby. And then, you know, you look up and maybe a month later, nobody's around, nobody's trying to help, you know, and it's kind of like the same thing. So whenever I give a baby gift, I always give something that's like a size 6 to 12 months because, you know, everybody's going to give you something for that newborn time when it's all cute and everything, and then they forget about you later on. So like I said, I kind of felt the same way. And like I said, I went through a lot with my family, and I won't even get into that, but I went through a lot with them, so I didn't even have that initial everybody swarming me trying to take care, you know, thing. And it's just been an ongoing thing with me, but God has been just so good, and he's made provision for me and my children and myself, and we're, you know, the children, you would look, they're doing great. You know, they're the two happiest kids. You know, and like Latasha said, we talk about Antoine all the time. I want to talk about him. I want people to bring up his name. I want, you know, I want to smile, you know, and he had a way of making me laugh even when I was pissed off. He could still make me laugh, and it made me so mad. But, you know, he could make me laugh. And I guess just in closing, I will say that I always thought that he made me a better person because I used to be pretty rough around the edges, I guess, and skeptical and didn't trust people and, you know, things like that. And I made that statement to a lady that I used to go to church with, and she said, I like to think of it as God using Antoine as your instrument. And I thought that was a nice, you know, way to put it. That, you know, and that, you know, like I said, I thought that meant a lot. But I love this show. And it was, you know, it was really good. And even listening to other people speaking and everything, that helped me a lot as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And Charis, if you don't mind, if you would do the same, you have something to share?
Well, you know, honestly, I think Sean Lee said it best. I think
it's amazing that both of you said you're not talkers, and you have really talked tonight.
Yeah, no. I mean, I agree with everything that she says. I'm not a talker. I will say when I do talk, I tend to ramble. But, you know, I'm not much of a talker or a sharer, especially when it comes to my feelings and emotions. But I just, I thank you for just inviting us to the show and just trusting us with your audience and just to share. And like Sean Lee said, you know, I hope there was something that I said that we both said that'll help somebody along the way. And, you know, just want to encourage everyone, especially throughout the holidays. And you know, I sometimes I feel like I'm a Bible beater, but, you know, God, trust in Him. Give it all to Him. And I promise, you know, that He'll carry you through it. You know, He knows your needs more than you know your needs. He knows He knows your hurts. He knows your, you know, your longings. He knows your heart. And just lean on Him. Give all of your emotions, not just the sadness. Give all the emotions over to Him, and He will heal and pull you through if you let Him. So.
Okay, and the program, I think we had Grief Share is one of them. And I think Sean Lee said that that's also there in Georgia. So this may be a national thing, Grief Share. For those of you who are listening, that's one thing that we talked about tonight. And then Kate's Club, we know, is definitely in Atlanta, but it may be where that you can Google that for our listeners as well, try to connect that way. And just to remind you of the program at Germantown United Methodist, for those of you who are in the Memphis area, and that's at 2331 South Germantown Road. The phone number is 901-754-7216. And we talked about the program that they have coming tomorrow night, and I believe it's Blue Christmas, I think. But you can call and talk about that, and that starts at 6:30. And then they have the Stephen Ministry, that is an ongoing ministry where they actually will assign someone from the church to assist you in any area of life, and that person becomes like your personal life coach. So that's a good thing, because it's expensive to have a personal life coach. Before turning it over to Tika, I just want to, again, just thank both of you all for sharing with us tonight. You've just possessed such amazing strength during the show. There were times where I thought, okay, am I going to make it through? And then I would hear your strength, and I'm thinking, why wouldn't I? So thank you.
Hey,
and
hey, Tammy, can I say one last thing?
Sure.
Yes. I just wanted to... After Antoine died, with us being in our home, you know, I'm thinking to myself, he did all the repairs around here, you know, anything that had to be done, you know, he changed our oil in our car. You know, I'm thinking, how am I going to be, you know, man and woman, take care of everything, you know. And God, like I said, He has made provision, and He's put me in touch with, you know, I have someone who cuts the grass. I have someone who, you know, does, because I have multiple sclerosis, so I'm kind of, with certain things, I'm limited as to what I do. But I heard, you know how you hear something and it kind of, it stays with you. And there was a little, it was just one sentence and it stayed with me, and it has for a while. But it said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength.
Mm, that's good.
Say that one more time. I want to make sure everybody gets that, including me.
Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength.
Ooh, okay.
And that just that one sentence, you know, because I was like, why, you know, and God doesn't want us to worry anyway.
Right.
You know, so I was like, here I am, you know, going really against what I believe, you know, because I believe in God and I believe that He has a plan, so why should I worry? And when I heard that, I don't know if it was during a message, I can't remember exactly when I heard it, but I put it in the little notes part of my iPad, and I just every once in a while I look at that, and I'm like, I don't even have anything to worry about. God has all of this planned out. He has all of this taken care of. I don't even have to pay attention. I just wanted to leave that.
That's good, and that's something for our listeners, and I wrote it down, but I hope the listeners did as well, but that is so true. That just kind of sums it all up and put everything in perspective. So thank you for sharing. I have three questions I just want to put out there as well, and these are questions that I just think that it's really important to think about as we grieve and go through the process. And one of them is how would my loved one want me to keep their memory alive? And how would my loved one want me to live my life going forward? And the last one is, what would I want for my loved ones if I changed my address? And that one meant just the world to me because, you know, so often for women, I think, if we'd all be honest, I know for me, there's times where I have my funeral before my funeral, and you think about, Lord, if I lost my child, what would I do? I think we just worry and just think about stuff more so than men. But the one thing that I would want Brandon to do and everybody else that I love is live life, embrace life, trust the Lord, and be happy. I would not want him to not live and grieve so long over me. You know, I've talked about this with Brandon, and I just tell him I want you to have a party and I want to make a video and talk to everybody. And I'm like, Charis, I want to change my address. I don't want the other stuff. I'm just changing my address. You know, I heard a little young man that lost his mom put it best. He told Brandon, and he was sixth grade when he lost his mom, and he said, and we laughed about it. He's like, dang, she's going to see everything I do now. And that was just so funny because he was saying she's going to see everything, you know, so, like, I got to get it together now. So, you know, just some questions I wanted to put out there, and I just hope that this show blessed so many people through this time of grief and as you approach those days that continue to remind you. So be blessed, everybody. I'm going to turn it over to Tika again, Charis, and Shunley, thank you. And I do have permission to share, to suggest you guys be friends. Well, Shunley, I got to first find you. I could never find you on Facebook. I know, but can I give Charis your number and vice versa?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Charis. Okay, great. So I'll do that. Tika and I will post all that we got from the show, the different organizations and so forth, onto our sites and on the Butterfly Evolution as well. So thank you, and I'm going to turn it over to Tika.
Okay, thank you, Tammy. Once again, I just want to thank all of our guests tonight, Shunley and Charis and the lady that was there earlier. I can't remember her name, but I want to thank her as well, just for sharing, because I think, like I said, I believe that this is very therapeutic for you, and I do know that this will minister to other people as well. And I just want to just end the show kind of with just a positive note, because no matter what, these feelings are going to come when we have someone, when we've lost our loved ones. But when the feelings come, let them come. I just want to share that, you know, there will be people inviting you to accept some and few invitations, but go ahead and accept them. Talk about your feelings. Let people know that you're having a good day or a bad day. But for the most part, I think we've all learned that this is a time to where these people don't need to be alone as well as we don't need to be alone. So they need to be able to share and talk about the good times and the great times, and even talk about the difficult times, because that is healing. Modify or make new traditions. Keep some of the same traditions, but as Shunley mentioned, she keeps some same traditions, but she makes new traditions as well. So that is very therapeutic also. And all replace all negative thoughts with positive ones, because that's what we all want to do. What I love most about hearing all of our ladies that were our guests tonight is the way that they leaned on a higher power, the way that they leaned toward their creator, because there is something that once this leaves a hole, and this leaves a gap in our lives, and this leaves a numbness and a void. But there's nothing and no one that fills that void like our creator. So all of them leaned on a higher power, and they all mentioned that if it had not been for their walk and their drive and their striving towards the Lord and leaning to him for their strength, they know that their strength came from him. And that has always been the premise in all of our shows, is in realizing that the things that we cannot do without him, but all that we can do with him. And so that's the greatest thing that all of these ladies have shared. I love just hearing, and that inspires me. They are inspiration for me as well. I know not even aware of how they've inspired me this evening, but just hearing their daily walk and their daily strength, and that, you know, this is a walk that this continues. We have to go on and strive toward just healing and living for a life of completion. And so for the amount of time that God placed the people in their lives, it was for a purpose. And even though, like they said, we don't understand why these things have to take place, we don't understand God's plan, but we know that no matter what, he's not going to explain it to us, but we have to trust him, and we have to trust that he is sovereign, and he does have a plan, and his plan is for, he has a hope and a future for us. I want to leave with a scripture, and this scripture is Romans 8:38-39. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord." And like I said, this is Romans 8:38-39. And this is, and ending the show, I'm going to, you know, if Tammy wants to share anything else, I just want to end the show with this scripture. And again, thank all of our guests for just really, truly sharing, you know, what your love, of the love of your love was meant to you. And just thank you for being able to be a voice of strength for so many other listeners that will be listening to the show later.
Thank you, Tika. And I just, again, want to say thank you, Sharis. Thank you, Shanlee. I mean, we couldn't have asked for more tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we will just continue to pray and lift each other up and one another up. And we will all commit to doing better and in giving trying to be there and give each other what he or she needs during their time of grief. So I hope this show inspires people to just kind of move forward in a better way of assisting people. So I will be in touch with both of you, and maybe this will be the start of something that we can consistently do, maybe every couple of months, to allow people time to come on and just talk about what they're going through. So thank you all. Thank you all. And we have just under 2 minutes. So again, if you all feel like you want to share more before we disconnect, that's fine. And if not, you know, we're just going to go ahead and end it here. So do you all have anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, I will share your numbers and thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Shanlee, thank you. And I know you got to go and get the kids together, but thank you so much.
They're fine. I did want to say that I do think that I realized one thing, and I don't think that this is all, but one thing that one reason that Antoine and I were brought together and everything is that him and his brother were the last of his last name, and Antoine and I had a son. So that, you know, his last name will continue on through Elijah. So I kind of take comfort in that, you know, that at least, you know, family name will continue on, and you know, you never know, maybe our son will have 6 sons and it'll keep on going, you know, you never know.
You'll live through him, yeah.
But that'll be mandatory that he has six sons.
Okay, well, thank you all. We're just under a minute here, so. Thanks to all of our listeners. Thank you again, Shanlee and Sharis, and we will will be in touch. You are part of the Butterfly Evolution family now, so no turning back.
Thank you.
Thank you. And to our listeners, you all have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful night. Be encouraged and just trust in the Lord. Thank you so much.